the obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
This hour is brought to you by Cars for Kids.
We're back live with more of the Cubs for a Cure Radiothon in partnership with Stand Up to Cancer and Brain Up.
This is Ian Happ. I stand up for Ryan Sandberg, a legend of the city of Chicago, someone who was always there for me as a young player, as a veteran player going through struggles, who meant more to this city than almost anybody, and represented the Chicago Cubs in the best way possible. Thank you for supporting Cubs for a Cure.
To donate now, visit CubsForACure.com or text the phrase CURE25 to 41444. That's CURE25 to 41444.
Welcome back in. We have passed 100,000, 100% to cancer research. Much more to come over the next 21 hours. We're on the score. A big thanks to the Marquee Sports Network for being on board live on Marquee now throughout much of the Radiothon. We have some very, very cool donation incentives for you this hour. So your donation goes to cancer research, but it also can have you coming away with something pretty cool. Like, how about this? This is something we've never done before. In partnership with Stand Up to Cancer, you want to call right now, 773-388-8270. You want to go to the World Series? We don't know where it's going to be, but Game 4 of the World Series. We got tickets for you. Thanks to Stand Up to Cancer. You just got to make it $3,000. Maybe it's going to be at Wrigley Field. Who knows? Maybe it'll be in LA. So you got to get yourself there. You got to put up your accommodations, but you are going to get two tickets to Game 4 of the World Series for $3,000. Also, Cubs Hall of Fame weekend meet and greet with Kerry Wood. Probably my favorite Cub of all time. Four tickets to a game next Cubs Hall of Fame weekend, as well as exclusive pregame meet and greet with Kerry Wood. That's $3,000. 773-388-8270. But this is where it's really important this hour. Your $5 becomes 10. Your $25 becomes 50. Go to CubsForACure.com or text CURE25 to 41444. This is the biggest match we've ever had in the history of the Radiothon. The Sharon Mosseri Brain Cancer Research Fund is putting up $25,000. $25,000. And joining us to talk about the Brain Cancer Research Fund in honor of Sharon Mosseri is her daughter, Danielle, and then Dr. Adam Sonaband from the Malnati Brain Tumor Institute, which is what the Sharon Mosseri Brain Cancer Research Fund, it supports Dr. Sonaband's research. So Dr. Sonaband, thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me here.
Thank you. And then Sharon, thank you so much for coming in.
Hi, Danny. Good to see you again.
Good to see you. Good to talk to you again. Not through a phone. I know we've been planning this for a long, long time. So, you know, let's humanize it here before we get into what it all supports. Talk about your mom. Tell us about Sharon Mosseri.
Yeah. And, you know, the one thing that you and I have in common, unfortunately, is we've both lost people that we love to glioblastoma.
That's right.
In 2018, my mom was diagnosed with a GBM. She had seen a few different hospitals, and then she got a referral to Northwestern, and she met Dr. Stoop. And we,
who was my brother's doctor as well.
Okay, all right, great. Yeah. He is the best. He is absolutely phenomenal.
A legend.
Cannot say enough things about Dr. Stoop and his team. That was a game changer for us. That changed everything. That changed the outlook of my mom's diagnosis. My mom was diagnosed in 2018, as I mentioned. And those who are diagnosed with a GBM, as it said, it's like 12 to 18 months on average with the standard protocol. Thank you to the Dr. Stoop and his team. My mom made it 4 years and 7 months after her diagnosis. And our family's here today to support. We love supporting MBTI. It is...
That's the Malnati Brain Tumor Institute at Northwestern.
Yeah. You got it, yes. It is instrumental to our family that we support them because without Dr. Stoop's work, Dr. Sonaben's work, and Dr. Chandler, my mom's team, we wouldn't have had my mom for those additional months years. I was just talking to Dr. Adam Sonneben and telling him, do you know this? Like, without those additional years and months, my mom wouldn't have been around to meet my daughter or my niece, her last two grandchildren. And in addition to, she wouldn't have been at my brother's wedding. And with all the treatment that my mom got to have through Dr. Stoop and his team, my mom was able to go on a big family vacation with us. She went on many vacations with my dad. She got to go on vacations with her girlfriends, and we got to make so many additional memories. So I'm here today to talk about that because it's so important as we are raising funds for research that is prolonging lives of those who have brain cancer or just cancers in general. Those moments count.
Right. Yeah. So your fund supports that type of research that Dr. Sonneben does, Brain Up, what I get involved in, works closely with the MBTI. We've supported some of Dr. Sonneben's research. So we'll get back to more to some of those specifics. But Dr. Sonneben, if you wouldn't mind, brain cancer is a tough one, but your research with Dr. Stoop, it is showing serious progress and serious promise, I guess I should say. What is this amazing fund doing? What can you tell people about your research?
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. I have to tell you, it's a very humbling and challenging disease, and I really am very passionate about it because it really strikes the essence of a human, which is their mind and their brain. So I'm very compelled to work on these. I'll start by saying the standard of care should be research. And so I want to just make sure that this is clear to everybody here. If you go by what's known to work, it only takes you so far. And so our job to do the best clinical care possible is to try to enhance that, to give those extra months and hopefully years. So it's not that research is a luxury. It's actually what you should ideally provide to a patient to give them hope. This is why I think research is so important. As opposed to disease that you can cure, and research is also maybe not as important, right? But in this case, this is not a curable cancer. And so our research program that is really here today because of Sharon Mosseri and her family honoring her now stands from two premises and that are very simple.
Good, because this is sports radio.
Yes.
So we're going to need to keep it simple.
I'm going to boil it down. Basically, the first premise is the following. For drugs to work to treat brain cancer, the drug needs to be where the cancer is. It sounds simple, right? But turns out that's not always been an accepted paradigm. And here's why. When you remove a tumor, I'm a neurosurgeon, I'm a brain tumor surgeon, so I can remove the tumor. You remove the tip of the iceberg that stands above water. The part that is obvious tumor and no brain, easily done. I can feel really good. Surgeons have great morale. The patient feels well. The scan looks clean. But there's universally always brain tumor cells left behind. And the reason why these brain tumor cells are so important is because they're hidden in the brain. And so 95-98% of the drugs out there that were designed to treat cancers anywhere in the body don't get into the brain when you inject them or when you take them as a pill because of this blood-brain barrier. And so these tumor cells that are hidden behind after surgery cannot get exposed to the cancer treatments that we're doing. So if we don't get the drugs there, they're not going to work for sure. And so half of what this program does is get the drugs that are circulating in the blood into the brain. For this, we relied a lot on this emerging technology that uses ultrasound waves with microbubbles to transiently open this barrier.
You've opened the blood-brain barrier to get medicine to a place in the brain that it otherwise was not able to get to before.
Correct. And so
that is such a huge breakthrough that just as someone who is a lay person in this, but has gotten very involved in the last couple of years, that is a massive, massive accomplishment within the field of brain cancer research.
Well, and considering that you're saying, Dr. Sonneben, that only 3-5%, maybe even only 2-5% of available cancer drugs, not even just what we know about medicine in general, that makes that so much more difficult. I think that that's something where we can help hammer that point home, that the money donated for research could make such a big difference when there are so few treatments available.
Correct. And it's sad but true that Most of the drugs we have to treat glioblastoma were not designed to treat glioblastoma, but they're really taken from cancers that are way more common and profitable for industry. So we're trying to repurpose them. And so that's why it's important to get them to the brain. Just in a nutshell to share with you, in the last 5 years, thank you really for the Mosseri family, we've gotten from the proof of concept in animals to actually testing this in patients. We can open the blood-brain barrier in the outpatient setting. It's a procedure that takes 4 minutes with the patient fully awake. We've proven that we can get at least 5 or 6 different drugs, including antibodies and several chemotherapies, to be increased in their concentrations in the patient's brain. I measure these by several fold. We recently showed that actually you open the blood-brain barrier, the drug gets in, and you can close the blood-brain barrier quickly, and the drug gets trapped in the brain. So I can share with you, now we know we can do this. This can be done with multiple drugs. We can do it over and over. I had a patient who even had this done 17 times. Oh. And it's feasible, it's reproducible, it's scalable.
And so people should know, so the Mosseri Foundation is putting up $25,000. We can make it, since people are donating, you know, they'll donate $23 in honor of Ryan Sandberg. To be sure that we hit that number, we can make it a triple match. So you make it $23, we'll make it $69. You do $100, we'll make it $300, to be sure that we get to the $25,000 number for this hour. So please know that there's never going to be a time where your money will go further than this hour of the Radiothon. And you can call 773-388-8270 to get some of the higher ticket, big priced items. This would be a great time to do it because we're going to get that number matched at $25,000. And also, you're a humble guy, you're a smart guy. You know, the standard of care protocol for glioblastoma is called the Stoop protocol. Dr. Roger Stoop, he is your partner in this research. He was Brad's doctor. He was your mom's doctor. Mm-hmm. So he is a world-renowned person in the glioblastoma field going back 25 years. This is literally some of the best research that is being done on this anywhere in the world. Are you willing to say that, or do I have to say that?
I'll say it.
Seriously, these are world-renowned people. Yeah. Some of the most accomplished people in the entire field are in studio with us right now trying to get to some breakthroughs here.
I don't want to pay respect to the typical thoughts of a neurosurgeon's ego.
Neurosurgeons, Oh, what is it? Is it brain surgery? Yeah. It's like, yeah, it is actually brain surgery. Yeah. We actually have a brain surgeon in the studio. It's annoying.
You know, honestly.
And he's handsome, too.
thank you. What we're doing here, it's greater than a person or a discipline. These are generalizable principles. If you think about it, if we can get drugs into the brain, you know, the sky is the limit. Now the question is, what is the drug? And the other second question, and I want to get to this really briefly.
Please.
The second part of the program, one is to get the drugs into the brain, and the other one is to match the right drug to the right patient. And this is the second concept that is super important. It's complementary to the first, because otherwise we don't stand a chance. And I just want to lay out a very simple concept here.
Please.
Glioblastomas, they all look the same on the microscope, but they're really not. And so it turns out that the biology within the same diagnosis is variable. And as a result of that, the susceptibility to a given drug is not really the same across patients. And so classically what has happened is when we do a clinical trial, and for the people in the audience, a clinical trial is basically a human study to see if a drug works and if it makes people live longer. When we do a clinical trial, they're usually done with the assumption that everybody who gets the drug will benefit. So they flip a coin and they say, you get the drug, you don't get the drug, and let's see who lives longer. These are all designed based on the assumption that everybody that gets the drug will benefit. But that's never been shown to be the case in glioblastoma. Turns out that there's always groups of patients that do really well with the drug, and there's groups of patients that do not. So the second half of the program is to figure out how to anticipate which patient benefits from a given drug, to develop a way to predict this.
Because so Brad, Brad had glioblastoma and Sharon had glioblastoma, they were very different glioblastomas.
Very different. Very different. So we need to marry the drug delivery with the patient selection up front, with more than one drug to give patients an option and a chance to have at least one drug that works for it to work. And this is what we're after. It's super ambitious, I realize, but we're doing it already in clinical trials.
What does this education mean to say you, Danielle, or your family, when it came to not only what you talked about with, you illustrated how that time was so valuable to you, but when you hear the education, you know, what does that mean to you to have that?
My first thought is that it's so healing to us. It's exciting. We are so excited. We, knowing how we feel, the sadness that we feel having lost our mom, it's exciting to know that others will be able to prolong their life and to make more memories with their family and their loved ones and their friends. So we are right here with them, like cheering them on every step of the way. We are so excited for the work that Dr. Sonneben and his team is doing. My mom had a huge heart. If I could speak about my mom for a moment,
please.
She was, what do we say, a golden heart. She had a heart of gold. And if her friends could be here with me today, they'd all be saying the same. She had a heart of gold. Anytime she had a friend who was sick, or in need of something, my mom would run right to them, right? She would help with her time. She'd help with her money. She'd help with just listening. She had a great ear. And so knowing that they are going to be doing more research makes us so excited, because this is something that my mom would want. My mom would be down here cheering, and she would want to see others succeed, even though that she did not succeed. She did. In our eyes, she did. Four years and 7 months. She did. She absolutely did. But she'd be applauding Dr. Sonneben's work. She'd be so excited for their whole team. She had so many great things to say to all of them. And she was so grateful. And we are so grateful. And we will never stop cheering for them and rooting them on and supporting them.
Let's put up some more donation incentives here to hit this $25,000 match from the Sharon Mosseri Brain Cancer Research Fund. We've got 5 more Cubs autographed baseballs. So you make a $200 donation, it goes towards the $25,000 match. You're going to get an autograph from a current Cubs player on a baseball. Those should fly off the shelf, but they're going to turn $200 into $600 so that we can hit that match. So think about that. Your $200 becomes $600, and you get an autographed baseball. Go to CubsForACure.com. Text CURE25 to 41444. I see that the World Series tickets went, so that means we got a $3,000 donation this hour. We have some Hochberg suite tickets to give away. $2,000, food, booze, Blackhawks game around Christmas time. You're going to work out the date with Hochberg, and most importantly, I would say, the dessert cart. So you make a $2,000 donation, and you get your $2,000 becomes $6,000. You get to go to a Blackhawks game. You get food, booze, and dessert, and 100% goes to cancer research. So we got pairs of tickets in the suite. Thanks you to our friends at Team Hochberg, which is there. I love what you said too about memories, because right, it's brain cancer without a cure. It's the most brutal form of cancer. You talked about, like, so my second son, Eli, his middle name is Bradley. So mm-hmm. He's named after my brother, Brad. And Brad got to meet Eli Bradley. And so, you know, he got to hold him.
That's
thanks to thanks to Dr. Stoop and the MBTI's care. And he got, his son was a huge Milwaukee Bucks fan, and they got to be there up in the rafters and see Giannis drop 50 and win an NBA championship. And he got to see his daughter go off to college and his son get a driver's license, like all after his glioblastoma diagnosis. So, you know, my sister-in-law, Jen, Brad's widow, talks about Dr. Stoop and the MBTI as heroes, you know.
Absolutely.
So you guys are, you're truly the best at what you do, and we're very lucky to have you here in Chicago. It's humbling to be in your presence for both of you. So thank you.
Thank you. I had a pleasure of meeting you know, several people, and I'm also humbling by the humane experience of the patient and the family and the process that they go through. It's really inspirational how people take every minute and make the most of it. And you know, this is something I keep learning from on a personal level.
Well, thank you for saying that. And Danielle, I don't know if you feel this way, but like channeling your grief into something, like the fact that your family set up this foundation is
yes.
So, it's so cool. Like, think about it. You right now are telling your mom's story.
Mm-hmm.
Putting up money for the research that can help the next person who gets diagnosed with it.
Yes.
And, you know, making that money go further because of this platform than you ever would be able to.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very healing. As you know, grief comes in waves, right?
Yeah.
There's many, many good days, and then there's the days that are not so good. And so to be able to keep her memory going and do something that she would have wanted to do, is extremely healing, and I'm so grateful that we get this opportunity. So thank you for having us, and thank you for putting this on.
Of course. No, it is the Cubs' honor. It is my honor. It is the Score's honor. We're thankful that we're on the Marquee Network right now. So once again, Danielle McLaughlin, Mosseri.
Yes.
congratulations. And Dr. Adam Sonnaband, neurosurgeon at Northwestern University of the Malnati Brain Tumor Institute. They've opened up the blood-brain barrier. This is where there is hope when it comes to treating brain cancer. This thing right here. This is where there is hope. It is as good of a cause as exists in this field. These are some of the most generous people. It is the most generous hour match we've ever had in the history of the Radiothon. So make sure they have to write that full check for $25,000. So get those donations in. CubsForACure.com. Text CURE25 to 41444. Dr. Sonnaband, Danielle, thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Again, it is the Sharon Mosseri Brain Cancer Research Fund. We got to get that total up. We have Jameson Tyone joining us to tell his cancer story before the end of the hour. We've got a lot more to do, and we have to hit that $25,000. This is the biggest hour in many ways of the whole Radiothon. Text CURE25 to 41444. Cubs. Oh, go ahead, Dr. Sonnaband.
I just want to say something because I know this is so important.
Yeah, sure.
People,
yeah, I was about to hit my dismount there. Go ahead.
I just want to make it clear, this research fund and this fundraising, you know, sometimes people think research, we're going to do something obscure with some cell line or some mouse work. Most of this is actually going to treat patients in the context of a new treatment. So I want you to understand that this will directly impact patients.
No, I think that's beautiful. And then you know what? I'll say one more thing. So it's going to directly impact patients. And Google right now, federal cancer research. Just Google it. And then tell me if you're not motivated to donate to something like this. Because it is getting cut in some ways. And here we are trying to close the gap on that through private philanthropy. And it's insane that these researchers and these doctors have to deal with that and questions about whether or not their research will continue, which has long time been supported by federal grants and things like that. But so just right now, Google federal cancer research, see the headlines, tell me how you feel about it, and then make a donation. Because these are the people that are actually trying to cure cancer, to prolong quality of life, to improve quality of life, and give hope, give memories. And so this is the stuff that's actually important. So CubsForACure.com, Dr. Sonnaband, Danielle, thank you so much.
Thank you.
The Sharon Mosseri Brain Cancer Research Fund. Back after this, Cubs for...
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
For Cure.
We're back live with more of the Cubs for a Cure Radiothon in partnership with Stand Up to Cancer and Brain Up.
Hey, this is Holly from the Robin Holly Show on US 99, and I stand up for my dad who passed from pancreatic cancer.
To donate now, visit CubsForACure.com or text the phrase CURE25 to 41444. That's CURE25 to 41444.
All right, you guys are coming through. This is the biggest hour we've had. We have passed 140,000. The Fergie Jenkins meet and greet is gone. The Braves tickets were gone. And the World Series tickets are gone. That means that the Kerry Wood's still available? Kerry Wood, 20 strikeout game. My God, nastiest stuff I've ever seen. You got 4 tickets to a game next year for Cubs Hall of Fame weekend. It'll be good weather because it's midsummer, early September, and you get a pregame meet and greet with Kerry Wood. That's a $3,000 donation when you call 773-388-8270. We also have some more. Hey, make a $200 donation right now. We send you an autographed Cubs baseball. What's a better deal than that? CubsForACure.com. Text CURE25 to 41444. Thanks to Sharon Mosseri and Dr. Adam Sonnaband for coming in and talking about that incredibly important research. We will react to that in just a little bit. But joining us now, another return guest. He was on last year for the Cubs for a Cure Radiothon. Cubs starting pitcher and cancer survivor, Jameson Tyone, with us on the Score and the Marquee Sports Network. Jameson, we're over $140,000 raised with 100% going to cancer research. Thank you for the time, sir. How you doing, man?
Yeah, doing well. Thanks for having me and having me back. I guess that's a good sign. I guess I did all right, and we raised some money last year doing this.
Yes, we did,
man. But I'm happy to be doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, it carries obviously a new meaning. Last year during this radiothon, Ryan Sandberg announced that he was cancer-free. And then this year, just a couple of days before the radiothon, he passes away from cancer. And Crane Kenny was on earlier and said, you guys are going to be wearing the blue jerseys with no name on the backs. All of you wearing number 23 on Saturday. So, you know, we're doing this in honor of Rhino. I don't know how many personal interactions you had with him, but I'm just curious of any that you did and your impressions of what he meant to everyone within the Cubs.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't been a Cub for too long, but I was lucky enough to cross paths with him a pretty good amount of times. And, you know, down in spring training this year, he was around, at least for the first half. And there was one morning he just saw, you know, I had a coffee station. It's well documented. I like making my coffee, and I would make my pour overs every morning at like 6:30 in the morning in the clubby's laundry room where they would do all the laundry. And there was a morning Rhino stopped by and just talked to me for like 20 or 30 minutes, just telling stories. And he was really curious about my coffee. And so I got to talk to him then, and I got to share with him that I had a family member really close to me battling prostate cancer at that time too. So we bonded over that a little bit. Just no other way to put it. It's really sad. And I think being down in spring training with him, you got to see just like kind of what great people have, that gravitational pull where people just want to be around him. People wanted to talk to him. People wanted to say what's up to him every morning. Like, it was just, you know, one of those guys that everyone wanted to be around. So really cool, too, to see some of his old teammates that came down. I know Sean Dunston was down there and Mark Grace and some of those guys. And just, like, watching them interact and talk smack together, it was like you could just tell he was such a loved dude. Not just, obviously, like, you can go on his baseball reference and look at how great of a player he was. But, like, little things like that, seeing how much love his former teammates had for him was really special.
There's no doubt about it, man. That's well said. It's going to be a very, very powerful moment at Wrigley Field on Saturday. And, you know, so you are a cancer survivor yourself, testicular cancer in 2017. Take us back to the diagnosis. I mean, you're a professional athlete, you're an athletic dude, you're a healthy guy, and you get that diagnosis.
Yeah, so looking back, like, it's funny, that spring training, I had just been feeling off. I'd been getting these awful migraines, like exertion headaches. Every time I would do something hard, my head would start, not just like a headache, but it was pounding so bad that I thought my head was going to explode. I was sleeping a lot. Like, I'm usually a guy that needs like 7-8 hours, maybe 9 at the most. I was sleeping like 10-11 hours every night. So once I got the diagnosis, I was kind of putting the pieces together like, man, how did I miss all that? That being said, I'm lucky enough to have caught it very early. Just self-diagnosis. I felt a lump on my left testicle in 2017 and got it checked out, got it removed. I had to do follow-up blood work and CT scans pretty often for the first year or two after that. And I still monitor it every year, but, you know, the further out you get, the better the prognosis is. So, yeah, just one of those things where really lucky I found it, really lucky to be around such great trainers every day and doctors. Like, we have special access every day. We have doctors in our locker room and stuff. So I had a doctor do an ultrasound, and I could just kind of see from the look on his face. It wasn't his, like, line of expertise, but he was like, yeah, this isn't right. We need to get this checked out. So just really lucky to get in and get that taken care of and then become a part of the cancer community, which you never want to be a part of. But at the same time, like, I take a lot of pride in kind of being a flag bearer for other cancer survivors and people who have fought cancer and lost the battle. Like, I just take a lot of pride in representing that community at the major league level.
Well, what is also, Jameson, I think, like, you talked about it earlier, what does it mean to you to be able to give back in this way, to help these causes, to help raise money? I feel like that's been a big aspect of what you've done as a survivor as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because when it first happened to me, I don't know, I wasn't comfortable talking about it, or I felt like almost ashamed that I almost had like survivor's guilt. Like, I had such an easy go at my treatment and everything worked out well. But then as time has gone on, I've realized just kind of like the responsibility I have to speak up and to be visible and have these conversations. So yeah, I mean, it's super important. And I've just learned over the years, like, once you're a cancer survivor, you know, people who have lost people to cancer are really comfortable coming up to you and sharing their stories. And again, it's just like so much responsibility on my end, you know, that I have this platform and that I'm lucky enough to play in the major leagues and be a part of this community. So just to do everything I can to speak about it and hopefully be open and share my story and be visible.
When Jameson, you talk about the survivor's guilt, if you will, and you feel like you had an easier go than a lot of people do, not just because you survived, but because of the way it was caught. Obviously, you had much more medical staff around you being a professional athlete. I'm curious as to what you've learned about cancer since that initial diagnosis that you probably were not aware of in terms of how it impacts people.
Yeah, I mean, to be completely honest, I think it's just like the numbers, the volume of people that are impacted by it. Like when I think I was diagnosed at 25 years old, and I would have considered myself still young back then and pretty naive. And as I've gotten older, it's just realizing like anyone you come in contact with has been impacted by cancer one way or the other. You know, someone who's fought it, you know, a friend of a friend who's had it. So just as I've gotten older, I think just realizing like cancer and, you know, any part of the body, like people just know people who have been impacted by it. You know, the numbers are so, so huge. And I know there's a lot of great research going on and so much research that still needs to be done. And so much work that still needs to be done, and which is, you know, why these fundraisers are so important.
All right. I got two more things for you, but first I got to tell people about a very cool opportunity here. This would be a $2,800 donation. Okay. $2,800 donation, 773-388-8270. August 18th, a game against the Brewers. That's a big game. We have 7 tickets in the Yeti Yard.
Whoa.
So I was not familiar with this because I've been out in New York doing this whole TV show.
Oh, you
it's
don't know
new.
About the good
it's
times.
New this
the good
year.
Times.
Is it awesome?
From what I hear, it's awesome.
Okay, so new to the ballpark in 2025, the Yeti Yard, new outdoor rental space in the Budweiser bleachers, a more intimate backyard vibe with a high top seating overlooking center field, each space fully stocked with Yeti coolers with unlimited beer, seltzer, wine, non-alcoholic drinks. Get those out of there. The Yeti Yard is sold out for the remainder of the season, so these are the last opportunities to get those seats. What? I don't understand. So we're doubling your money. It's $2,800 donation. Cubs Brewers big game in August. Sold out seats. 7 tickets. That sounds like a party.
We actually wanted to go to the Yeti Yard. JMO, I'm sure you're a fan of a Yeti cooler just in general. I know you understand.
I'm on Wrigley right now, actually. I'm pacing in. I'm right behind shortstop, and I'm looking at it, and it looks pretty awesome. And if I'm not pitching that day, I might need to make the donation and go sit out there with some friends.
There we go.
All right. Well, it's available for you. $2,800 for 7 tickets. It's a steal. 773-388-8270. So I want to pass this along to you, JMO. So this is the third year of Cubs for a Cure, the second year where we've really been blowing it out big with the Stand Up to Cancer moment and the Radiothon. I don't know if you will remember this, but at the first one, you met a guy by the name of Greg, who was a Cubs season ticket holder on the field. He had been diagnosed with brain cancer. He ended up making it six.
Yes.
Yeah, he ended up making it 16 months, but his wife is coming on later. She set up a foundation in his honor, and she wanted me to pass along to you that in his journey with brain cancer, which only lasted 16 months, one of the biggest highlights of his time was meeting you and how much of a gentleman you were to him and his family.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I do remember. I actually met him twice on the field, and then I did like a season ticket meet and greet, and he was there with his family again. And yeah, I mean, again, like that's why raising money is so important and being visible and talking about it for people like Greg. You know, so hopefully in the future we can come up with cures and keep these diseases out of people's bodies. And yeah, I mean, I kind of get chills thinking about it because, you know, just was lucky enough to meet him and meet his family and shake his hand. And those are lifelong Cubs fans and stuff. So, yeah, it's just super sad. And hopefully we can raise a ton of money.
That is absolutely the goal. And so my brother passed from glioblastoma from brain cancer. He was childhood best friends and adult best friends with Craig Council, your manager. So Craig will be coming on tomorrow to talk Rhino and talk about my brother Brad. And the Cubs are kind enough to offer me up an opportunity to throw out the first pitch at the Cubs for a Cure game. And I've thrown out the first pitch before. So last year I passed it off and I went out there with my nephew, Jack, with Brad's son. And Jack fired one in and Counts caught it. And it was a really powerful moment for my family. This year I'm passing off the opportunity to Brad and I's baby sister, Amy. And so Amy's listening right now, and you're a professional pitcher, and she is not. So do you have any advice for someone throwing out the first pitch at Wrigley on Saturday?
I actually think I do. So
okay, here we go.
Generally, people play catch on the side, right? And it's flat ground. So I think people dial in their throw before, but what you don't realize is how steep the mound is when you're out there. So really, my only advice would be aim higher than you think you need to. Because if you don't, I think the slope of the mound is going to force you to kind of yank it into the ground. So I would definitely aim a couple feet higher than you think you have to.
I think it's great advice, and I think she's so terrified that I don't even think she's going up on the mound.
Okay, so just dial in your throw on the side before and just go repeat the mechanics out there right in front of the mound. That's perfect.
Yeah, it's going to be funny. It might be the shortest first pitch in Wrigley history. She's like, can I stand right next to Craig and hand it to him? I'm like, no, you can't. You can't. Brad would make
there's no rules.
Oh, there's a rule.
There's no rules. You got to throw it a little bit.
Yeah, I'm going to make her say, you know, base of the mound, the dirt, like heels on the dirt feels like what it should be, JMO. But listen, man, thank you so much for giving us the time and telling your story, because it absolutely makes a difference, man. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Always happy to be on, and good luck the rest of the way.
Yeah, and good luck to you, man. Absolutely. Get healthy and get out there for the stretch. That's Jameson Taillon with us on the Cubs for a Cure Radiothon on the Marquee Network and, of course, right here on The Score. The meet and greet with Kerry Wood has moved. Did the Yeti Yard tickets move yet? Have the Yeti Yard?
Okay. I don't think people understand. Like, we were talking to Crane Kenny about
this. I'm upset about
this. It's going to be amazing.
He was telling us about it. We're like, yeah, we want to go. But I think there was only like a couple opportunities left, and this is the last one.
So it's seven tickets, and it's in the so seven bleacher tickets for Cubs Brewers would be a lot of money.
Yes.
Say hi to the crew out there. You know, Danny Rocket, our guy.
Yeah, but so this is like, so seven tickets to Cubs Brewers would be a lot of money, but instead you get like your own spot in the bleachers,
Danny. It's like if you were sitting
with all of the booze you want included.
Yes. It's as if you were in your backyard, right? And you know how your yard goes against the back of somebody else's yard, but yeah, instead of your neighbor's yard, it's a ball game going on, and you're just looking through the fence. And there's
and
a
he
ball.
Had a pretty nice backyard when he lived here.
Oh, I did.
Okay, well was, there you go.
Yeah, this is better than that, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was pretty nice.
Challenge issued. Come out here and A.
All right. Well, there we go. So $2,800, 773-388-8270. Get your Yeti Yard tickets to Cubs Brewers. I'll be personally offended if that doesn't move by the end of the hour. And you know, I come back, you know, you don't want to offend me while we're going on here. And this is during the Mosseri Fund, the Sharon Mosseri Brain Cancer Research Fund, a $25,000 match this hour, folks. It's the biggest match in the history of the Radiothon. It rolls on after this on The Score in the Marquee Network.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks, the three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back live with more of the Cubs for a Cure Radiothon in partnership with Stand Up to Cancer and Brain Up.
Ellie Ewalt and Chase.
Chase was diagnosed when he was about 2.5 years old, and he was diagnosed with an aggressive malignant brain and spine cancer. What did you say that you would tell them?
I'll tell them to never stop fighting.
To donate now, visit CubsForACure.com or text the phrase CURE25 to 41444. That's CURE25 to 41444.
We're at 160,000. It was a big hour. Let's keep it going. CubsForACure.com. Text CURE25 to 41444. All right, so last year, I've told you guys a little bit about this group of brothers, right? They're diehard Cubs fans, and they were very moved by the Radiothon, and they want to remain anonymous. And so they're the ones who are putting up the money for the trade deadline. This year, $500 for every trade. They dropped $2,300 at the beginning of the Radiothon in honor of Ryan Sandberg. Let's get 10 $23 donations, by the way. Text CURE25 to 41444. Let's get 10 $23 donations going for Rhino. These people have put up the biggest incentive in the history of the Radiothon. And this is crazy. And it's a big number. So maybe you and your buddies need to go in on it. Maybe you're going to use it for your company. Maybe you got to text some people and come together, but there's only one shot at it. Right now, if you wanted to buy tickets to the bleachers next year, you could not do it. You need to be on the season ticket holder waiting list, and there's a very limited number of bleacher seats. It's not an available thing. You can get Cubs season tickets, but not in the bleachers. You have to be like an existing person. We have two tickets to all 81 games in the bleachers next year. So to be clear, you are not a season ticket holder. You're not going to be invited to all the other swanky events because there's like the invite thing. You have to be on that list already. But 81 games, pair of tickets, bleachers, next year, $20,000. If you actually price it out on a dollar per dollar basis of what that is, you're getting a steal on what bleacher tickets go for on the resale market, especially from like late May to June, July, August, September.
Oh, yeah.
It's the toughest. It's the ticket that sells above its value by percentage the most still at Wrigley Field. Wrigley bleachers in the summer, legendary, right? So $20,000, 81 games. I can do this, man. That's 162 bleacher tickets over the course of next season. $20,000. You got to call 773-388-8270 because obviously we only have one of these prizes or incentives, I guess. 773-388-8270. These will go. I don't know if they'll fly off the shelf right away, but this is you make a $20,000 donation. It gets matched. It goes to cancer research. And we ship you 81 games, bleacher tickets next season.
I did the math because I was very curious. It comes out to $123.46
yeah.
per ticket.
So that's a steal if you just try to buy a pair of bleacher tickets to Saturday's game.
Cheapest bleacher tickets like in the last month were like $175.
Yeah. So go try, and that's probably a weekday game with bad weather. Go try to buy two bleacher tickets to this Saturday and then tell me that $20,000 isn't a good buy. So, and we just ship you the tickets. And then what you do with them, that's your bit. You want to go to 81 games? We'd love it. You want to give them out to your friends? You want to work with business? You want to do what you got to do? That's all good. $20,000. 773-388-8270. You get to say, hey, I'm supporting cancer research, and you get to go hang out in the bleachers. Marshall, your first Radiothon, your final thoughts?
It's been illuminating, exciting, pleasure working with you, but also just the stories. That's what will stick with me from this day, from my coworker Diane.
Yeah.
Obviously, you have a brain surgeon in studio to talk about this.
Yeah, the Sharon Mosseri Brain Cancer Research Fund sponsoring this hour.
And those who have, you know, survived.
Robbie Jr., the kid who looks up to PCA, who he gave him the message to. Yeah, absolutely.
So all of that, just a worthwhile cause, and cancer touches each and every one of us.
Well, it's an honor to work with you, man. Layla, what about you? Your second Radiothon.
It's good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Because the last time I saw you in person, well, outside of a brief visit for the Barrett Conference.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You were signing off. And I believe I said this to you then, and I will reiterate it because I truly believe it. You are the change you wish to see in the world.
Oh, that's very kind.
And
of you.
So it's actually just kind of you. I get to be a part of this because of you and because of your family. And so to do that, as you see, we've talked to so many people who are trying to buy others' time. And when you know that 1% improvement from what Dr. Sonneben said could result in not just time for people, but so many people could be positively affected. When you know that 100% of your money today is going to go and make a difference in someone's life, that means the world. And you're giving to somebody who you don't know. And we don't have enough of that in this world. So thank you for that today. If you feel bad, you can always say to yourself, I help somebody have a better life today. And because of you, they get to say that. So thank you.
Well, that's very kind of you, Layla. Thank you. It's an honor to work with you guys. Congratulations on the success of the new show. It's awesome. And can't wait to check you guys out during football season. The Yeti Yard has sold.
Of course
the
it
Yeti
did.
The Yeti Yard has sold for Cubs Brewers.
I'm shocked.
That was a steal.
I'm gonna say hi to you guys. Try to sneak in a cooler.
The bleacher seats are available. Okay, well, we will kick off the reunion with me and Matt Spiegel.
Totally different show.
With an emotional tribute to Bobby Jenks. I was actually, according to his widow, who I've been messaging with from Portugal, I was the last person that he spoke to on the phone 2 days before he died. So I will tell that story, and we will be honoring Bobby Jenks with a new hour-for-hour match, new incentives, really cool opportunities still to come. The Cubs for a Cure Radiothon rolls on the Marquee Network and the Score.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.